So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Amen. You brood of vipers. It's the best opening line ever to tell people some good news. I absolutely love John. Integrity. Integrity can be defined as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. But integrity is not a quality that simply exists or doesn't exist in a person. Integrity is a process. Integrity is a posture. Integrity is defined as the state of being whole and undivided. Integrity, the quality of having strong moral principles and of being honest, does not mean that we get to say whatever we think is true. It means we must speak whatever truth is necessary. And necessary truth, to quote Taylor Swift, yes, I have a 14-year-old, can come across as casually cruel for the sake of honesty. Especially to those that are being held accountable for some moral injury, to those that are receiving feedback, especially for those of us being called into repentance. You brood of vipers. This is John's opening to the gathered crowd in today's gospel. Not exactly a soft opening, and it doesn't really set the mood for good news. But it is John being John, being honest and standing in his whole and undivided self. It is John in a posture of integrity. It is one of those gospels that, whereupon listening, you know you are hearing necessary truth. Integrity, whole and undivided, is not the same thing as being orderly and predictable. I mean, look at John the Baptist. He was a wild man on the edge of society. John was wearing camel's hair and eating honey and wild locusts and yelling, "Repent, repent!" He was hardly a man who was orderly and predictable in appearance. But true spiritual integrity runs deeper than appearances. In fact, being able to stand in a posture of integrity requires us to dig beneath the surface of appearances and examine what lies beyond all of the order and predictability. Sometimes integrity means letting the appearance of order and predictability fall apart. Repent. This third week of Advent, our time of preparation to receive the light of Christ, we are being called into our integrity, into repentance. Now, in last week's gospel that I struggled mightily to read, as you might remember, we had a list of very important leaders of varying regions. Lysanias, Caiaphas, Trichonitis, and the worst, Annas. I just knew I was going to really mess that name up and embarrass the heck out of myself. Regardless of how we pronounce the names, their titles say it all. Emperors, governors, high priests, by all appearances, powerful men with a lot of control over the people and the resources available to them. The way the gospel was structured last week was telling too. After listing all of these powerful men, it simply says, and the word of God came to John. John, just John. The word of God could have come to Trichonitis, but it didn't. It came to John. God chose to make God's word known to the man in crazy clothing, eating bugs, and living on the edges of society. An odd choice by all appearances. This choosing people on the margins to deliver God's message is all throughout our scripture. Not just John and Mary and Jesus, but all the prophets and disciples and messengers were people on the margins. I mean, God could have chosen to bring God's message through one of these powerful men whose names are very difficult to pronounce. And perhaps that was just a branding choice, like, let's choose John here because nobody's going to listen to this guy named Trichonitis. It sounds like a disease. But to be sure, it's more than branding. And here's the thing, I think it is also more than God's choice, too. Whole and undivided. Power can divide. Being in a position of power, one can have many people pulling at you for various reasons, wanting different things from you and threatening your power if they don't get what they want. Being in a position of power can create a world where order and predictability, where appearances become paramount in order to hold on to power. Having power and being whole and undivided is very difficult. So it is occurring to me that God does not choose who hears God's message. What has occurred to me is that in order to hear God's message, we must be whole and undivided. Hearing God's message and being willing to speak it requires great integrity. Whole and undivided. In our gospel today, John is calling on a group gathered to turn away from their power, privilege, appearances, and towards their integrity. Their privilege has led them to deep assumptions. The assumption that because they were all men of status and followed all of the religious rules, that they were entitled to salvation. But here John says, just because you have Abraham as your ancestor does not guarantee your salvation. Spiritual salvation is not dependent on where you are from or your appearance in this earthly world. Salvation is not dependent on our power. Salvation, John says, is dependent on how you live now. It's about the fruit you bear, not your roots. The present moment, not your ancestry. What you do now, not the way it has always been done. He's saying to the gathered crowd, your family tree won't save you. Your ancestry, even your Jewishness, will not save you in the end. In the end, John says, it will be your integrity that saves you. Even now, John says, the axe is lying at the root of the tree, whole and undivided. Feeling confused about this message, the gathered crowd asks, John, if that is not going to save us, what will? So John responds, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. Integrity. Now, to be sure, this is not new information for them. This is their ancient moral law, but they have become divided. John, in his integrity, is saying, repent, turn away from power, entitlement, privilege, and toward love. John is calling them to bear the fruit of the Spirit by loving their neighbor and God. He is speaking necessary truth. Brené Brown defines integrity as choosing to practice our values rather than simply profess them. This gathered crowd was quite good at professing their values, but John was calling them to live them. The third week of Advent, our focus traditionally is on joy. It feels hard to me to find joy in any gospel that begins with, "You brood of vipers." But it also says John brought good news. Good news doesn't always feel good or joyful. Good news from God is often a call to repentance, and often that good news is delivered to us by wild people living on the edges of society. Often the necessary truth for our salvation will come to us from unexpected places and people. And often it is true that that good news will be hard to hear. The call to practice our values as Christians, the necessary truth that we have to do more than simply profess them, can honestly feel cruel. Hard to hear, but necessary truth, and that is good news. And the good news is this: God has not chosen some among us to hear and proclaim God's word. God has given us each the choice to make, to take a posture of integrity so that we can hear God speaking to us, so that we can hear the good news, the necessary truth. God has given us each the ability to turn away from that which divides us, to repent. And when we do that, God has promised that God will speak to us and call to us and prepare us for God's kingdom. And that is good news. So, Grace, as we move into the final weeks of Advent and the final weeks of this year 2021, what in your life leaves you feeling less than whole? What divides you from your neighbor? Where in your life are you showing up in appearances, but perhaps leaving your integrity behind? What necessary truth do you need to hear or speak in order to examine what lies beneath the surface of appearances? And what needs to fall apart in order for there to be room for you to hear God speaking? God is indeed giving us good news through the prophets as we prepare for the birth of Jesus. God has given us necessary truth in our scripture and in our call to repent. And together we are called to stand in a posture of integrity as individuals and as this body of Christ. So what should we do? We should turn around. We should turn around and see the necessary truth that we have been given in this good news. And that truth is, we should turn around and see who is without a coat. We should turn around and take no more than we need. We should turn around and love our neighbor over and over and over again, this turning around. Because integrity is a process. As we enter this new year, Grace Church, we will be turning around and looking beneath the surface at how we engage with our community. We'll be looking at how we are called to meet the needs of those in our community and taking account of our relationships, and we may have to let some order and predictability fall apart in order to really examine what lies beneath the surface of appearances. And this is the journey of spiritual integrity. This is the Advent journey that leads to the light of Christ and the epiphanies that follow. Together, we are called to examine what lies beneath the surface. Together, we are called to hear God speaking to us. Together, we are called to build the kingdom of God right here on earth, standing in a posture of integrity, together, whole and undivided. Amen.